like all this other stuff is attached to.
Hope can be a lively place. At Hope Incorporated, an outpatient treatment center in Tucson, people drop in for breakfast, organize community meetings, and even host the occasional talent show. It's almost incidental that everyone who visits or works here, including CEO Dan Haley, lives with a mental illness. As Haley puts it,
from the CEO myself to the janitor, we are people that are living with a mental illness of some kind. I myself have a diagnosis of major depressive disorder. I'm also a recovering alcoholic. I've been clean and sober for 22 years.
From its beginnings as an informal coffee shop get-together in the early 90s, Hope has grown into an established peer-run center that saw more than 3,800 people in 2012 alone. Most of Hope's members have limited means, and that's not unusual. Data from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration show that serious mental illness is most prevalent among those with the lowest income levels, and it's a leading cause of homelessness as well. When enrollment and access the state Medicaid system froze and the state behavioral health program cut most of its services, people living in or near poverty with mental illness were the most affected, and many turned to Hope to find the care they needed. Haley says Hope tried its best to meet that need.
One of the things that we were really fortunate at the time was our REVA here, CPSA, felt the need to try and keep those people engaged. So they funded a position for us just to work with that population, and they created their own volunteer force. And they independently ran their own groups so that they wouldn't lose that piece of their recovery.
Hope supported the volunteer effort because it recognizes the vicious circle that poverty and mental illness can create, Haley says.
Either they're on very low income or they're on a fixed income. And so by the time you pay for housing, your bus pass, and your food, at least very little.
Christina Jasberg knows what it's like to live at the mercy of the state's behavioral health system. She has struggled with schizoaffective disorder and self-harm since her early 20s. She says there's a lot she doesn't remember.
I cut myself for the first time one night, and then it seems like from there it's like a blur. I've been in over 80 different hospitalizations and psychiatric facilities.
Unable to work, Jasberg survived on Social Security disability benefits with her parents' help and relied on the state system for care. Then, after years in recovery, she chose to enter the workforce. When medical issues forced her to stop working again 2 years later, she faced Arizona's new landscape of care. With changes to the access system, Jasberg now made too much money from her disability benefits to qualify for the services she once had. More importantly, she lost coverage of a medication that was critical for managing her condition and began to spiral out of control.
And I began to stay up at night all night, ruminating about my anger towards getting my access, you know, denied access. And I was watching the news constantly to see what was going to happen with that and reading articles, and I became very obsessed with thinking about my anger about that issue. And I wanted to hurt other people, not anyone in particular, but my rage was so much that I was either going to hurt myself or hurt another person, and I ended up in the end choosing myself. And I took a large overdose one day and ended up in ICU for 4 days. I almost lost my life because of not having the medication that I need.
The medication cost nearly $1,000 a month, far more than Jasberg or her family could afford. Eventually, they were able to locate a generic version of the drug that's only available in Canada at a tenth of the brand name price. But for Jasberg's parents, who are retired elementary school teachers, it's still a hardship, she says.
I wish that they, you know, could have better for themselves, but they've helped me throughout my life with my own recovery. And a lot of people, they don't have anybody. And I'm so lucky that I have my whole family still supporting me, and I don't take that for granted any day.
Now Jasberg is preparing to return to school and working at Hope Incorporated, where she coaches others in recovery. She's become a passionate advocate for a state system that helps people with scant resources, like her, have a chance at a better life.
I was dreading every day, and now I see beauty in every day, so I'm glad I'm alive. I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing. And, you know, I want that for everybody else too. And I've seen it happen over and over again where people get well, but they just need the support to do that. And part of it is economical. If we want people to strive and want to be part of society and to better their lives, we got to give them a good base, a solid foundation to start from.
At Hope Incorporated, Haley says he works to build a part of that foundation every day, and he starts with a sense of purpose.
People need to feel like they have a purpose, and it's corny. We need to be able to give them hope. People need to have hope. I used to say when I first came here, we offer you hope until you can find it.
And while hope may not be able to end all poverty or heal all wounds, Haley says it can go a long, long way. I'm Gisela Tellis for Arizona Spotlight.